Hi everyone, welcome to Life is Healing. I'm Lubaina, your host. I am a healing practitioner and I specialize in energy bodywork, shamanism, and astrology. Life is Healing is a podcast where I share my passion for healing. In the last 15 years, my journey has encompassed plant medicine, energy healing, astrology, and shamanism, which are all topics you will hear about. I'll share tips from various modalities and interviews of healing practitioners and stories from all over the world, and a fun astro update in every episode. Tune in and join me for this journey on Life is Healing. Hi everyone, welcome to the very first episode of Life is Healing. I'm your host, Lubaina, and today I have with me a very dear friend, Mike Kaplan, who is a wonderful comedian and a fellow traveler in the world of healing. So since this is our very first episode, instead of me interviewing Mike, I thought it would be fun if he interviewed me so that you guys get to know me because you don't know who I am. So that's what we're gonna be doing today.
Yeah, so my first question is, who are you?
Oh my God, that's a very loaded question.
Fair enough. How about I'll hone in a little further.
Please
do. Who are you with respect to the world of healing?
Okay, I like that question. So I'll start with my journey and my background a little bit.
Yeah.
I got into healing because I was looking for healing. It really started a long time ago. And I would say that when I was a kid, I was really into astrology and the New Age woo-woo fun stuff. And then I grew up, life happened, you know how that happens. And about 12, 13 years ago, I found myself in a really dark place. And I was going through a lot of life changes, as we tend to do. I had just gotten divorced, moved halfway across the world from Bangladesh to New York. And I found myself depressed. I found myself very unhealthy, emotionally mostly, but also physically eventually. And I was looking for help. I was looking for relief, honestly. And I tried everything. I tried everything from acupuncture to homeopathy to regular therapy, and even very briefly took some medication, and nothing worked. Honestly, really, nothing was helping to a point where I felt like I was having some sort of a breakthrough, right? And eventually, looking, I came across ayahuasca, which is actually how we met. Fun little fact. And when I found ayahuasca and I started drinking ayahuasca, that plant medicine work really helped the depression that I was experiencing. It also revealed that I had an eating disorder, which I didn't know about, or I wasn't aware, because that's just how things go. And I started working with the plants for healing. That's really where I began my journey, where it really made a big difference, right? Before that, everything that I was doing, it's not that nothing was really helping. It's more that there wasn't a big impact. With ayahuasca, I started having really deep energetic releases, which led to emotional healing. And that was a big deal for me because I hadn't had that sort of relief in a long time. Eventually, what happened though was, which happens to a lot of people in the plant work, is there was no real integration. I didn't really have proper guidance. And I started having a lot of physical symptoms, which were more psychosomatic than anything else, because the doctors couldn't really figure out what was going on with me. Mm. And that's how I met my healing work teacher. And that's how I started to participate in a modality which we kind of loosely call movements of light. It's using the body as a way to release tensions and tones that you're holding, emotional tones, mental patterns that are held in our physical body, because the premise of this work is all of it is interconnected. We're one being.
So is this new modality of light work related to plant medicine, or is plant medicine not involved?
No, plant medicine is not involved in this work. So I met the person who taught me this modality through plant medicine ceremonies. And this modality is really a hands-on technique. It's more somatic in nature, so you can feel the releases on a very physical level, even though we're working in the deeper portals of one's being. We're working in the emotional, mental, and ultimately it's a spiritual healing modality. So the premise of it is to work with the person's body as a gateway into deeper layers of their consciousness and look for where the contractions and distortions are occurring. And by that, I mean, when we have traumas in our lives, we experience certain hit to our energy bodies, right? So the contractions that happen, they're like a turning away from our natural state of being. And my teacher, whose name is Daniel Kolodsky, his background is the Kabbalah. And I don't know why all of a sudden I was like, and Mike happens to be Jewish.
It's true. I like it.
So his background is the Kabbalah. And in the Kabbalistic way of saying, they say, anything that's a turning away from the light of God creates a contraction. And I'm seeing it as a contraction, which is a turning away from our natural state of being, because our natural state of being is health and healing and joy and so on. So,
sure. That makes sense. So when you talk about integrating, like some people, is it so that people could like, some problems manifest physically, some problems manifest emotionally, some manifest spiritually, and that they can all be sort of addressed in this, like, you know, one-stop shop for healing?
That's also a really good question. And the answer to that is we don't look at these different facets of our being as separate. We look at them as all very interconnected. Kind of think of Russian dolls. Mm-hmm. They're layered on top of each other, but they're all really part of the same doll, right? So it's there could be a problem that's purely physical. That would be something like you got a gash or a cut, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of the times, though, the stuff that we experience, which is more chronic or things that are mysterious, like depression, mm-hmm. you know, which in a manner of speaking, there doesn't seem to be like a one cure for all in terms of depression or anxiety mm-hmm. even. So the emotional component of all of that and how that manifests into our physicality. So the premise is that our physical body holds all the memories that we've experienced. And as a result of that, it holds all the traumas in our body. And there's been a lot of work done in this field at this point. There's a great book called Body Keeps the Score that goes into length about how that happens. And that's the more emotional, psychological component of it. And then we go sort of one step beyond, because this is a spiritual modality in which we're like, well, energy drives structure. So here's where we get like a little bit quantum physics-y, right? So like everything has energy. Everything is ultimately made out of energy. So what we're saying is that the world of form, the physical world, is a manifestation of the energetic component behind it, the energetic world behind it.
Sure. So of course there are things that, you know, a medical doctor would be like, if you get a gash on your arm, then probably go to the medical doctor.
Please do.
Yeah. and there probably are some things that, you know, that talk therapy or, you know, a psychologist might be the best.
Sure.
And so what are like, how does, like, what happens when, if somebody comes to you, like, what does it look like? How does the healing occur? Like, is it, like, when you talk about the physicality of it, like, is there a massage component to it? Is there, I know that you've led, sound healings, you know, with singing bowls and, that sort of thing. Like, so what does an appointment look like?
Okay. You have such good questions.
Thank you.
So I would say that each session is really tailored to the person and what they need. So it depends on where they're at. So before I go into that, I do want to give a disclaimer that I do not treat symptoms with this modality. And of course, you should be consulting your doctor if there is a problem that you feel like is physical, right? And at the same time, this can be a sort of alternative and additional practice that you may use, that you may find helpful, right? So when someone comes in, they usually come in because something's going on, right? I've had people with all kinds of things, you know, and it might be something that's manifesting physically, but again, we don't treat symptoms. It might be something that's very emotional, really depends on the person. So once they come in and they talk to me, then as they're talking, I look at their body. And as I'm looking, I can, like, certain parts of their body lights up for me, which means I can see how they're holding tension, right? And that's a starting point. And sometimes it does feel like a massage because we're going into how the person is holding the tension in the body, right? But there's a lot more information in the touch than a regular massage, because in a regular massage you're looking for just tension, but what we're looking for is what's the energy behind it, what's really holding there, what's the emotion behind it. Oftentimes when I work on people, I tap into memories that they have, and I'll sometimes share what I see. A lot of the times I will share what I see, and I'll ask them, like, okay, so this is what I'm seeing. It's a, it's sort of like a, an inner visual representation of what happened to create that tone in their bodies, right? So we take it from there, and then depends. Sometimes people do respond really well to sound. So I use tuning forks and singing bowls for them to move the energy. And a lot of people respond very well to the touch as well. And so I can do a combination of things. Really depends on what the person needs. It's a very intuitive process.
Sure. Are there any specific pitfalls that you would, you know, sort of advise people to think about, or that you think about with respect to doing this kind of healing work?
So I don't know if there's something specific with this kind of healing work that I would go into.
Sure. Or I would, healing work in general.
Healing work in general, yes. Right? There is a propensity for us to sometimes get stuck in patterns of wanting to heal, right? So we get into these cycles where we get into perpetual cycles of healing, and it's like we have this one thing and we've taken it apart in many different ways, and we've done everything we can to address it, but somehow we still feel like there's something wrong, and we keep going, right? And that's how people end up in years and years of therapy for one thing, right? And in my personal experience and my personal opinion, I believe there should be an end to the cycle, right? So that's a pretty kind of tricky thing that we can do with our minds, where it's like we've had release and we get addicted to the cycle of release and contraction and release and contraction. Like, there's never going to be a time where you feel like 100% happy all the time. There's never going to be a time when life doesn't present challenges, right? And so this is why, actually, it's a very good segue. This is why I decided to call this show Life is Healing, because I believe that life presents us with all the opportunities we need for healing, including finding someone who can help us.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. So as compared to, you know, obviously for a doctor, you go and get a physical every year, you know, they're at, but for, I know for some, I have some friends who are psychologists who would say, like, for sure, it would be great to have no more clients, you know, if their clients had no more need of them, then he's like, I would be happy to be done, as opposed to, it does seem like something. So I guess what I'm saying is what you're offering and your hope, if people come to you with a problem, is that, they'll stop coming to you at some point.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that's something that I've always kind of encouraged in people as well, especially when I see, because this work can be honestly, it can be, there can be no end to this work, because at one point it can become about your growth. It can become about your evolution, you know, or you can be really attracted to learning how to do it, you know. But in terms of experiencing like cycles of patterns that they have that they're looking to break through, yes, absolutely, I would want them to stop coming to me. Otherwise, I'm not doing my job right.
Sure.
Yeah.
So going back a little bit to your specific path, so you mentioned, you know, 13 years ago, you were, you know, experiencing these great challenges and tried a lot of things and eventually found a few things that, you know, worked more than others.
Right.
And where along the path from, you know, healing yourself, did you come to the desire and like the practice of helping others?
So I would say that from a very young age, I had this desire to be of service. And that's just something that's been a part of me since I can't remember how long. I'm not sure if that's because of my environment, because I did grow up in a third world country and I saw a lot of stuff around me. Or if it's because of what I was personally experiencing, which I know that's definitely part of it, you know, which is, I feel very deeply for people who are going through things because I can really relate, right? I've been through some stuff in my life, like we all have. And because of that, there's this desire in me to help another person when they're in need. So this desire in me was there for a very long time. I just didn't know what form it would take. It's just always been there. I've just always felt pretty sensitive to what other people were feeling, especially not just when they were feeling happy, but also when they were not feeling so good. So being sort of empathic in that way inclined me towards wanting to find a way to do that. And again, I didn't know how it was going to manifest. And the way it did manifest when I first started drinking plants was I became an assistant in plant medicine ceremonies. As I mentioned, that's how we met. And being in that place of service taught me a lot and made me feel that this is sort of the direction that I want to keep going in. And about 5 years ago, I would say, what year are we in? Because COVID really threw me for a loop with time.
Sure. So COVID started in 2020.
Okay.
Or the end of 2019. And it is, as we record this, the end of 2023.
Correct.
Yes.
So basically, before COVID, around 2019, the earlier part of 2019, I had started to do a yoga teacher training, and I was looking to do like life coaching and teach yoga, which felt great. And I busted my shoulder, and I was going to acupuncture, massage, chiropractor, trying all kinds of things, just resting, whatever, to try to heal it. And nothing was working. And I hadn't seen Danny, my teacher that I had mentioned, for about a year. And I went to him for the shoulder issue. And when I went to him, it started feeling better right away after one session. And I said to him, I was like, are you ever going to teach this? Because I would love to learn how to do this. And he happened to be teaching for the first time a small group of people how to do this hands-on work. And when I was in the workshop, something just really clicked. And I was like, this seems like a really good way to be of service, to help people, because I knew how much it had benefited me. I could backtrack a little bit and tell you I had a very dramatic story of healing with it, with this particular modality, where I was in the hospital for 18 hours after not eating for 5 days, and the doctors were mystified. They were like, we have no idea what's wrong with you. It could be psychosomatic. You maybe need a specialist. Good luck, pretty much. And I ended up going to see Danny. And after one session, I experienced a huge difference, big relief. Like I was able to eat after 5 days. So it was a pretty dramatic healing experience for me.
Wow. I'm glad that happened.
Thank you.
So you've seen Danny a few times for a few different things?
Well,
or was that the same time that... that you were injured physically?
No, so basically I had known him for 7 years at that point. So 7 years before I had that yoga injury, I had met him and I had become a client, and I had gone to many, many sessions with him. And there was a time period, again, like cycles, right? So there was a time period where I was going to him very frequently, and then I stopped because I felt better. And like I said, that's how it should be. And then whenever something would come up, that would be a way for me to sort of work with myself, because it felt very transformative to me. And then eventually, 7 years later, I had like not seen him for about a year when I hurt myself in yoga teacher training, and I went to see him and then went to the workshop, came out of the workshop, basically offered healing sessions for free to all my friends and family. And that's how my practice started. It was sort of very organic and unintentional.
Sure. And so if I understand correctly, so one of the reasons you went to see him was like, you know, at least partly a physical concern. And then the one earlier where you'd been in the hospital was unknown, a mysterious...
But having very physical symptoms.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then when you had sessions with him, like, you know, he would do what you do now and sort of, you know, examine your body and the energy in various, you know, whether there's like constrictions or and he would then identify to you, he'd be like, here, there's something. And then was there like a conversation about it, or how did that, from him examining to you feeling better, how does that happen?
What happened? Yeah, that's also a good question. So basically what happened was, I was on his table, and as I said that I had not been able to eat for 5 days, and I was very nauseous. I was having a lot of physical experiences, and the doctors were mystified. They were like, oh, we don't know why this is happening. And when he first worked on me, he said, okay, there's tension here in this part of your body. And he kind of aimed to show me where the tension was coming from. That was the starting point. And then the next thing he said to me was, there's a lot of emotional stuff that you're holding there. I feel a lot of anger, and I feel a lot of emotions that are bundled up and just sort of causing this pain that you're feeling in this particular area of your body. And he was like, you're gonna be okay, don't worry. And then I remember just saying, okay, crying. And then he kept working on me, and he worked on the whole body. It wasn't like he just worked in one area where I was experiencing pain. He just sort of moved around. And I actually went in and out of consciousness many times. Like, I cried, I shook, and then I had like all these memories come up out of nowhere. And then I fell asleep completely as he was working on me. I had two people bring me to him because I was having trouble walking. That's how severe it was. And they were there, and I just remember at the end of it, he said, hey, do you want to sit up? And I sat up, and the pain was gone. And I was feeling like more aware that I was there, you know, like, because the continuous feeling of pain in the body is very uncomfortable, as you can imagine.
Yeah, pain is uncomfortable.
Yeah, so.
Sure. Well, that's very powerful.
Yeah, that was my introduction to this modality.
And so maybe this is leaping ahead a little bit, but so now you're doing this show. What would you say, what is the mission of the show? What can people expect? You know, I assume every episode won't be you being interviewed.
Oh, I really hope not. That would get boring really fast.
All right, will you have, you know, specific other guests, and like what will be sort of like some of the discussions and goals, and you know, what people can expect from listening or watching?
Yeah, so my plan for this show really, first of all, was to talk to people who are healing practitioners themselves and who offer different modalities, because this is just one modality. There are many roads to Rome. There are many ways to get to points of release and relief, and even deeper than that, which is more about growth and evolution. And my plan is to have people, because I have a lot of friends who practice healing in different ways, and interview them about what they do. In addition, my thought was also to have people who are not necessarily practitioners, but who've had transformational experiences using certain things, whether it's plant medicine or it's this sort of modality, energy healing modality, sound healing, meditation even. I mean, whatever's there for people, because there's many ways to transform yourself. So that's one vision of the show. The other reason why I wanted to do it is because I want to share sort of options for people, like free tools for people that they can use at home for themselves to experience what this modality is like, or how they could help, self-help sort of thing. And then I also happen to be an astrologer. Mm-hmm. That was one of the first things that I got into, which I think I mentioned it.
Yeah, I think you did.
Okay, so when I was 8, I started studying astrology. It was my parents thought it was very bizarre, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. So that's been a passion of mine for 32 years, and I just gave away how old I am.
But maybe it was just a lot of years condensed into one.
Yes, let's just, you know, COVID was a decade, so my plan also is to do like a little astrological update at the end of the show, and people can eventually send in little questions if they want. So like a whole shebang. Yeah,
totally. So we may have covered this in particular, but I had a question prepared earlier, and I will ask it, even though we may have all of the information already. But what would you say if I said, what is your why?
What is my why?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we did go into it a little bit. I would say my why is to be of service. That's my biggest why.
Sure. And I guess what are some tips that you have for anybody who's just, you know, let's say new to the idea of this kind of spiritual healing, new to the, like, you know, some of these terms, some of these modalities, what would you recommend, aside from, of course, listening to the show or, you know, seeking your services? Is there anything else that you would find that you think would be helpful for people to, you know, do or explore or look into?
Yeah, I would say there's so much out there now. The internet is like full of self-help things. This to me is not, I mean, the show, I did say the show, one of my aims is self-help, but the modality itself is not self-help. It's more of a transformational modality. So I would say one of the tips that I can give to people is look at what you're looking for. What is it that is motivating you to look for these ways of healing? Mm-hmm. What's driving that? And that can be a really good start.
Sure. And then I just to be clear, the difference between like self-help, there's a lot of ways we can, you know, explore things on our own. And then, but also, of course, you didn't even know about this particular work that you're doing until you went to somebody who, and so it can be valuable to have a teacher or have a guide or someone before you get started helping yourself.
Yeah, totally. I mean, sometimes we all need help. I think it's good to ask for help when we need it. And sometimes it's good to just be by ourselves and do it ourselves, whether it's through a modality and or through self-reflection or just being with life. Mm-hmm. Life is going to be providing us with everything that we need ever. Mm.
And are there any suggestions for if someone is looking for a teacher in a particular modality? Like, are there things that you'd recommend looking for versus not looking for?
Yeah, that's a pretty loaded question for me.
Okay.
And I'll explain why. Because I went through a lot of practitioners. I went through some teachers myself and have had the opportunity to have some really good people, and then the opportunity to have some people who were helpful when they were helpful, but then it came with a lot of baggage. So I would say number one thing to look for in a practitioner, in a healer, a teacher of any sort, would be somebody who encourages you to look inside yourself and who encourages you and empowers you to feel like you can do it, not that they have something that you don't and that you need to strive for or can only get from them. If any teacher, healer, any person who you're looking for help does have that air about them, run as fast as you can.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I
like the idea. So the answer is inside you, or it's at least definitely the answer to your issues is not for sure in someone else.
Absolutely not. And as you know, with plant medicine work, even it's really all about what's happening in here, like what you experience and what I experience. We can take the same ayahuasca, even the same dosage on the same day, sit next to each other and have wildly different experiences because that's our own stuff, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So those are most of the questions I had. I guess in summation, or are there any things that you think have been left unsaid? Any areas that you feel I haven't asked you about or that are specific to your background, this work, healing in general, the healing that you do in specific, anything that would be missing if we didn't cover it thus far?
Well, let's talk a little bit about, and we can go into this in a later show, but
sure.
Let's talk a little bit about what attracted you towards looking for a healing modality like plant medicine.
Yeah, you know, I would say I came to mind-altering substances late, you know, compared to some. Mm-hmm. I never had even, you know, had marijuana or, you know, cannabis or anything.
Oh, wow.
Until my, like, mid-20s.
Oh.
And then I did, you know, psilocybin mushrooms for the first time, probably when I was about 25. And at the time, I wasn't, you know, seeking healing. I was just like, I'd heard good things. And, you know, I'd heard that, like, the research suggested it wasn't dangerous, that, you know, that the experience was something that, you know, obviously, if you haven't had it, then you don't know, like, if you know, people can say, what does a kiwi taste like? And you can describe it in as much detail as you want. And you have to taste it yourself in order to know. And so when I tasted psilocybin mushrooms, which didn't taste great, but the, you know, the mental, emotional, spiritual taste of them, like, you know, opened something or like flipped a switch that, you know, really started me along a path of, you know, of learning, because up until that point, and still, I feel like a thing for me is, I think that I know things, you know, I got it. Yeah, I thought so. But, you know, it really, mushrooms really opened my, you know, eyes and mind to how many different experiences, like, I wasn't even aware were possible. Mm. And, like, ayahuasca, you know, a decade later did a similar thing, like, on a different scope and scale. And I feel like my first three, I feel like my first two ayahuasca sessions were kind of like the, it felt like, you know, I don't know, the cartoon of the drug dealer who's like, we'll give you this one for free. But then if you want, you got to come back later and you have to, then you'll pay.
Then you'll pay.
And so like my first two were very much, you know, as I've heard it described sometimes in, you know, Peruvian lore, there's the realm of, you know, the condor, the cat and the snake, mm-hmm. like, you know, the heavenly,
upper,
yeah.
Yeah. The upper world.
Yeah. The this world and then the nether regions.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first two were spent like mostly in the upper realm. And I was like, well, this is great. I just want to do this all the time.
All the time. Yeah. Let's be high all the time.
And then my third one was much more like it was physically painful and emotionally painful. And I found myself, you know, sort of like revisiting experiences of my life that I, you know, I would have said I didn't want to, but seemed like it was important to mm-hmm. you know, be able to move forward so that I'm not making as many of those painful situations arise. And so then I did feel like I mean, one nice thing about it is, like, in the beginning, I was like, I want to do this. I felt like I was getting a lot out of it all the time, and that's great. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, I don't know. I'm sure that I will. I imagine I will drink plants again. Mm-hmm. I find value whenever I do it, but I feel like it also has offered, you know, some self-help-ish components where, you know, insights that I've had can now, I'm like, oh, I can, I don't have to go back, you know, like, it's, you know, if a physical therapist shows you exercises, you know, you can keep going back to the physical therapist or you can do the exercises at home. And so
absolutely,
I feel like I have, you know, some more tools and skills, in, you know, thanks to, like plant medicines and the experiences I've had with them.
I really like that.
Oh, thank you.
Because that kind of ties into what we talked about when you asked me about the pitfalls of these sort of healing explorations.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it started as just like, oh, well, I mean, you know, on the face of it, in a way, sometimes plant medicines are like, hey, look, there's some colors, you know, some shapes and, you know, cool visions. But ultimately, you know, as I understand that's the, like, the tap, the easel or the frame on which, you know, the actual, like, creative, artistic, you know, meaningful inner work is, you know, is mounted.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I guess it probably, my journey started when I realized I wasn't already done. You know, when I was like, ah, things seem, I'm a man in my mid-20s, I'm a, you know, straight white American cisgender able-bodied male, like, what do I have to learn? What do I need? You know, and so it was, you know, very, over the years, humbling and, you know, really valuable to learn, like, how little I knew and to, you know, try to add pieces to it. And so, I mean, and I have been very fortunate, you know, throughout my entire life, and I feel very fortunate to have, you know, to have met you and to have had the, you know, the altering experiences that I've had. I mean, I feel like life itself is a mind-altering experience,
isn't,
you know,
it?
And healing, you know, hopefully if you're, you know, heading in, not swimming against the current as much as you can. But yeah, that's, I feel like that's a brief, as brief as I can be, overview of what got me into these things.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And if you want to know about more of Mike's journeys, we're going to talk about it at a different episode.
Oh, yeah. I look forward to it. Yeah, I like listening and I like talking. I like both of the ways. So is there anything else that you want to share with me or the people?
I would say, as you were talking, something came up that I was sort of holding back when you asked me about my why.
Mm.
And I would say that my biggest why is probably love.
Mm. Well, thanks for not holding that back. I can see why you would. Pretty love, ever heard of it?
No, I think it's just this sense of feeling vulnerable when I say that. Like, I do this because love. But that's really the main motivation behind all of it, because I really love a lot.
I'm so glad to be a recipient, and I feel like it goes along with, you know, with growth in general. I feel like, you know, there's within all of us adults, perhaps a child and a teenage, you know, a child who is like not self-conscious and a teenager that is self-conscious and, you know, might be like, who cares? Mom, you're embarrassing me. Oh, love, blah, you know, corny. But, you know, but like truly on the other side of it, it's like, yeah, that's like when I started doing, you know, ayahuasca ceremonies and learning, you know, the guidance offered before would often be focused on, you know, forgiveness, compassion, and self-love. And, you know, I feel like it, as we all are connected, as we all are one, you know, universal tapestry, like self-love, you know, you can self-love everyone. And, you know, if you love yourself, then you're, you know, more capable of loving others. If you love others, like, hopefully you can also turn that love spigot back on yourself, you know?
Loving others, just loving yourself.
Yeah. So that, I also, I'll come out and say that I love love, and big love head here, or big love heart here, you know? Yeah, so that's, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
One more question that has occurred to me that I think would be a great wrap-up question that I thought of right now.
Yes.
All by myself.
Good job. Yeah.
This might be a good final question. How can people find out more about you and your work? How would you recommend people getting in touch? How can people find you and in the ways that you want them to?
Great. So the first thing that people can do to get in touch with me is go to my website, which is lifeishealing.net. You can also find me on Facebook with my name, which is Lubaina Chaudhary. I'll spell that out for you. It's LubainaChaudhury. And my Instagram is also Lubaina Chaudhary, one word. That's my handle. Feel free to reach out on any of these platforms. I will also be putting this podcast up on YouTube, so you can leave comments in the comment section, and I will be checking that as well. And please, if you are on YouTube, apparently if I say like and subscribe, things happen on YouTube. So please do that. And thank you so much, Mike, for coming in today.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for coming in or out, or coming in all the directions.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're omnidirectional.
Yes. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for tuning in and listening, and stay tuned for future episodes. There's going to be a new episode each week, and we're going to have Mike back soon. So thank you so much for listening. And once again, this is Life is Healing with Lubaina, and we're signing off. Bye.
Bye.
Cool.
Keep it healing.